Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
I'm not playing in your league unless I can draft myself.
Outside of football, I live a pretty boring life.
With Matt Harmon.
This is an anti-getting greedy podcast here.
Been seeing you guys' podcast have blown up here recently, so glad to get on.
It's Wednesday, December 21st, and that means it's time for another episode of Eckler's Edge. Joining me, obviously, his name's in the damn show, as always, is LA Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Austin, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, just chipping away, man. Chipping away through life, football, everything. Looking forward to another great episode, though. How about yourself?
No complaints here, man. You know, I've really enjoyed this season. It's been fun. It's been fun doing this show with you. We've been doing the podcast, all the things that are going on. And the football, I think, has really been good this year. But I got to admit, I have a little bit of let's get through this week a little bit. Let's get to Christmas. You know, let's get that in the past. And then we move on to the new year and we keep it moving, man. So but otherwise, I'm doing great. I did want to tell you, though, really enjoyed the social Pro Bowl video that the Chargers made. And not just because they featured our Josh Allen interview from Eckler's Edge in the video, but that was absolutely awesome. Just perfect stuff by them. The Chargers social media team is absolutely crushing it. How much of a hand did you have in that? Because it was, people loved
it. Yeah, I had no idea that was being done. And one day, you know, our social media team came up to me and they're like, after practice, they're like, hey, Austin, we have a fun video for you for Pro Bowl voting. Can you watch it real quick? It's like a political kind of campaign. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll see what the heck this is. So they already made this entire thing. So they spent a bunch of time before even asking me. And then sure enough, they showed me. I thought it was epic. And they're like, all right, we just need you to say, like, you approve this message to kind of, you know, cap it off. And so I was able to cap it off. And then they sent it out there. I got so much great feedback from that. People were loving it. So, yeah, it was an epic video.
Yeah, shout out to the Chargers social media team for that. I love the, you know, is it because he's too blue collar? Is there a big school bias? That was great stuff. So shout out to them for that. Before we jump into recapping Chargers Titans and a big show, we got a big show here today. We got Antonio Gates. I know you just saw him last night. We're having him on the show later. We have some fantasy this or that debates because it's playoff time, Austin. We got to help some people out. We got a lot of stuff to do. But before we do all that, Talk to about the signed jersey giveaways and how much longer that's still going on.
Yeah, man, we got two more weeks of the signed jersey giveaways here coming up to the finals of fantasy football. So, yeah, same as always, make sure you tag me in a picture of me being on your fantasy football lineup. If you're out because you lost, then better luck next year. But for everyone that's still playing, you guys still have a chance to tag me in on Instagram or on Twitter to let me know that you have me on your fantasy team, which will automatically enter you in for these last 2 weeks.
All right. Well, people better get in on that. Only 2 weeks left. Chargers 17, Titans 14, Austin. It's kind of funny, you know, coming into the game last week on the show, I told you about how the Titans have this great run defense. Obviously, you guys know that, but their pass defense has been a little more susceptible. You know, Herbert ends up getting 313 yards, but you were pretty efficient on the ground, you know, all things considered. 12 carries, 58 yards. You had a couple badass runs there to down in the scoring area. Ended up being the rushing touchdown when they needed it. Tough game, though, between two quality teams there.
It was. It was back and forth, man. Shout out to both defenses for stepping up. Yeah, like you said, it was a battle. It was a battle for sure. And we knew that. We knew it was going to be a physical game for us offensively. And, you know, Justin came out slinging it, doing what he does best and keeping us going forward. You know, there's two, I think, big turnovers that really put us behind of having a more, you know, dominant performance on offense. The one, obviously, before the half, which was insane. Which was just like an incredible play.
Have you ever seen anything like that before?
I have seen that before, but it's been a minute. So it's just like, wow, yeah, guys still making great plays where he's out of bounds, jumps, throws it back to his own teammate for a pick in the end zone, right? We're about to kick a field goal to go into half. Like, come on. And then we had another turnover right on the fringe, which really hurt us. So, you know, defense stepped up, but yeah, we were able to fight and just get enough there at the very end. Jay Herb doing us. Doing what he does best, man, giving us a chance at the end, and Mike Williams making a big play, and then Dicker the kicker putting it through the uprights to seal the deal.
Dicker the kicker, baby. He's been pretty clutch this year so far since he popped in for was Hopkins. His last game was the one where he got the overtime against Denver.
And so D-Hop was killing it for us. Obviously got injured. Then we brought in Taylor. Then he got injured. Then we brought in Dicker. And Dicker's been, I mean, I'm just like, that's a hard decision. Like, if these guys get healthy, like, I'm glad I'm not the GM.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, that's above your pay grade. You don't got to worry about that one, man. But yeah, this Titans team, I guess from the outside, you know, you can tell me if this is true, just seemed like a bunch of like badasses there on defense, man. They play so hard. And obviously Derrick Henry gets his on the other side, 21 carries over 100 yards. Still keep saying this, love the way they have him involved as a receiver, 4 catches, 59 yards. That guy's like, as terrifying as he is as a running back, having him out there catching Austin Eckler style screens or like in the flat, stuff like that. Talk about scary in the open field, but defensively feels like a unit that doesn't get talked about enough among the best defenses in the NFL. But Mike Vrabel always has those guys playing physical and playing hard. What was that unit like on Sunday?
Yeah, they're big. They're big and just disruptive up front. And you can see that when you watch the film of them, just as far as how they're trying to attack. They have like one penetrator, like it'll be one guy who's trying to penetrate and the guy slanting, you know, bringing off edge pressure. So they're moving the front, they're mixing it up, and they're always getting people in the backfield. Our O-line did a solid job, you know, holding them down. But still, you know, there's always those plays where it's like, like you got to make something happen in the backfield, or we miss a block on, you know, tight ends got a mismatch on a D lineman. And so really, when you get into these situations, we have a really good defensive front. You got to make sure that you're giving them a bunch of different types of looks. You know, you're moving the pocket, you're chipping them, you're doing some play action and booting outside of them. You just got to make them play a complete football. You can't just let them sit there and rush up the field every single play. And then obviously in the run game, you know, like I said, they're big and disruptive inside. So that's, I think, why their run game defense has been as strong as it has been. But yeah, you know, that's why we have, you know, run and pass. And so we were able to exploit them more so in the passing game and move the ball down the field when we needed to. Did just enough to pull out that win.
Well, it wouldn't be a Chargers game if it wasn't slightly stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't
be. Exactly. That's how we like to use every minute of the game to make it entertaining.
Listen, the NFL is probably thankful. You've got folks, especially on all these primetime games, you got folks dialed in until the very last minute. The ratings, you guys are very concerned and very thoughtful about the ratings in particular. You want watch time is very important to the LA Chargers, it seems.
Yeah. It's not something we preach, you know, but, you know, it's the way it is, you know. I don't prefer it, but it just happens. And so now I've just grown to expect it. I expect it to be a fight all the way to the very end in our games. You know, I wish we had, you know, a 2-touchdown lead with like 2 minutes left. You know, that's ideal, but that's not realistic in our scenario. And so guess what? We're a gritty group of guys. We're going to keep fighting all the way to the end. That's all we know. That's all we've done, because that's been our situation. So I think it's actually better for us in the long term.
Yeah, it definitely fortifies you for the long term. Well, this is just goes to show you how the NFL is always moving, always changing, and you can never really predict things, because the Chargers now sit as the AFC's sixth seed, depending on what outlet you look. And I'm sure you guys aren't dialed into 538's playoff rankings or like this playoff model, this type of stuff. But, you know, depending on the outlet you look at, the Chargers have like an 80% chance to make the playoffs now at this point. It feels like the vibe feels pretty good right now compared to where we were maybe like 2 weeks ago, something like that. Or at least maybe that's how we feel on the outside looking at the Chargers. You got 3 games left: Colts, Rams, Broncos. We'll see if you can, again, no disrespect to any team there, and you always say paper doesn't play football, you guys play football, but there should, maybe you might be able to get a comfortable win in there somewhere. Maybe.
I can never say that, because I've been a part of games where it's like, man, these guys are struggling in the year and we've actually lost the game.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I've learned that lesson. I'm not going back down that. We got to show up. We got
to
play.
That's a good point, because you guys had that game against the Texans last year. And to the Texans' credit, man, I keep saying this, like, people are shocked that the Texans this year they took the Chiefs to overtime the last week. They took the Cowboys to the brink the very end the week before that. And it's like, look, people might be shocked by it, but like, watch the games. I'm telling you, those guys in Houston are playing their asses off. Like, nobody's thinking about the golf course. Nobody's thinking about vacation. They're thinking about, like, how hard can we hit the guys on the Chiefs. How hard can we beat? I mean, because they've beat up two teams. So that's a great point by you, Austin. What matters is what actually happens on the field. But
look, both sides are getting paid to play the game,
right?
You know, so no one's really taking it off. You literally cannot afford to take it off, because that will be a representation of you as a player or in you as an organization. There's always pressure to continue to finish the season for good reasons too, right? We want to keep this competitive for everybody. It's the NFL, man. Anything can happen.
Last thing before, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was gonna say anything can happen, and then I just remembered the Raider game.
Well, that's exactly what I was.
Anything can happen.
I mean, that's exactly what I was gonna say. Literally anything can happen. Because that was gonna be the last thing I talked about before we move on to the fantasy debates. Is, bro, that Raiders game. Look, obviously it's been talked about ad nauseum how outrageous that is. The Patriots, this disciplined, situational football team, I mean, fumbles the bag in the biggest possible situation in the most outrageous way. What was your reaction to, one, seeing that? I obviously didn't see it live. You guys were playing, but seeing it later on. And two, like, that's not only was it crazy, but it was crazy helpful to the Chargers' playoff odds, getting your division foes beating the Patriots that way.
Yeah, it was good for the Chargers. That was great. Great scenario for the Chargers. Obviously bad for the Patriots. Like, that's might be the worst way to lose a game. Just saying. Just like, it's over. Like, it's going to overtime. And, man, like, feels bad for those guys. Like I said, it was good for the Chargers. But, yeah, I was just in awe. Like, we were talking about it after and everyone's like, hey, did you see this? Did you see this? And I'm like, well, okay, what the heck's going on? I was like, no flipping way. Like, what the heck? Like, it just seems like, why would anyone ever do that? That's one of those scenarios.
It's like a brain fart.
It's like, you can't really get your mind around it. Like, what just happened? And I'm sure, obviously that's a learning experience for all of us. Let's learn from their mistakes. It's brutal.
Yeah, especially it's brutal to lose and then to have your quarterback be literally stiff-armed into the dirt by a guy who used to play for you and Chandler Jones, and that divorce and all that stuff. It's about the worst. You play Madden at all? You play Madden at all?
No.
I used to play all the time. I haven't played in like a decade at this point. But when I used to play Madden, if I was on the other end of that, like, how hard would you throw the controller like across the room if that's the way you ended? You know, I mean, it'd be absolutely absurd. But good news for the Chargers. Good news for you guys to continue this playoff push. We'll obviously keep that dialed in, but that was a crazy moment that I don't think. Again, I said, like, have you ever seen anything like that Titans interception there in the Reds? I sure as hell ain't never seen anything like that Raiders ending.
Right. I would say that Raiders Patriots scenario was even crazier than the interception.
Oh, a billion percent. Yeah. A billion.
Like, what?
I know. That was absolutely nuts. All right, Austin.
Oh, man.
We got some. That was fun. But we got some serious business to get down to. It's fantasy football playoff time. So this was your idea to have a little bit of like this or that debate segment between a couple of guys here. So we're going to go through some quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. We're going to be pretty quick about these because, again, we're trying to get the people the information here. Let's start at quarterback, man, because let me tell you what, Jalen Hurts has carried people to fantasy football playoffs, right? Myself included. I had a first-round bye last week on my Jalen Hurts team. Like, we're going to be good. We're going to be sailing into week 16. We're going to be feeling nice. He's going to miss this week, most likely. He might even miss next week. So the people need some quarterback streamers here. Debate number one, Austin, this or that. Who do we like better this week? Brock Purdy versus Washington. BCB has been on fire since he's taken over for Jimmy Garoppolo, an injury there for the 49ers. He's got 71% completion rate the last 2 weeks, 4-0 touchdown interception ratio. Or do we prefer Aaron Rodgers at Miami? Now, Rodgers, obviously the much bigger name. He's only had 3+ touchdowns once all year. He hasn't cleared 300 passing yards all year, which seems kind of outrageous. Do we like the big name or BCB going into this week?
Ooh, I feel like with BCB, you have the weapons, right? And then you look at the alternative, and it's the weapons aren't necessarily there, right? It's some guys that are trying to figure it out still, or guys that have, you know, on the back end of their career. So I feel like the ceiling is with BCB, and that's what I'm gonna go with him.
Yep.
Who'd you say they're playing?
They're playing Washington. Washington has a good defense. They definitely get after you up front, but
they do.
still, the Shanahan system is just makes it so easy for quarterbacks. And I mean, to Brock's credit, right, like he's just he's looked real good. I'll tell you this, Austin. I have a super flex dynasty league that I talk about on the podcast too much, according to Lord Podcast, our producer John. But I actually started Brock over Rodgers last week, and I ended up winning. So I'm with you that I kind of feel like Brock is the answer.
How did that play out?
Point wise, I won going into last night, so I didn't even check.
Yeah,
like who did better? Okay. But Brock was great. He had 22 points and was a big part of. Unfortunately, I was going against Justin Herbert, and so I was kind of pleased that Herbert didn't throw any touchdowns against the Titans, because that worked out for me.
I needed like four more points from him. I needed to catch a ball. I had a ball doink off my head from him. Like, if I would have caught that ball, I wasn't looking soon enough. I did not think he was going to throw me that ball. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that. Yeah, I was wondering about that.
This guy's like right on top of me, and I'm starting to look back, so I'm thinking it's going to be like an over-the-top throw. And he put it on his back shoulder, like right on my back shoulder, doink right off the head dome. I was like, ah, man.
One of those that unfortunately just looks worse than it is, because like you have to look for it afterwards, and yeah, it makes.
It's like doink off the dome. Yeah,
fell
yeah,
for
yeah.
you, bro. It made for a tough watch, but still, you guys got the win, and I got the fantasy win. 15 points last week for Aaron Rodgers, 22 0.7 for Brock Purdy. I'm with you that I think Brock is probably the answer here if you're looking for quarterback help off the waiver wire. Let's do another one here. Two guys that are pretty widely available as well if you're looking for Jalen Hurts help. Daniel Jones at Minnesota. Giants get the win on Sunday night last week. He's the quarterback 11 in fantasy on the year, primarily because he has 538 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So that's great stuff.
He's running that thing.
He's running that thing for sure. Minnesota been a super vulnerable defense. Derek Carr, he's the other one, this or that debate we got here. They're in Pittsburgh. Definitely going to be a cold game on Christmas Eve. Carr is pretty close, quarterback 14 on the year. The Steelers, though, also a pretty gettable matchup, have allowed the fifth most explosive pass plays this year. Austin, are we feeling Derek Carr the passer or Daniel Jones the runner?
Ooh. Who were the Giants playing again?
They're playing the Minnesota Vikings, who have been...
the Vikings? Man, I feel like Waller's back in the lineup. You know, Davante Adams, wow.
Yeah.
That guy's insane. I'm leaning towards Derek Carr in this lineup. Mm. The passer against the Steelers, who have been struggling this year. But, I mean...
This one's close.
The Vikings, I feel like, in the last couple of weeks, man, I've been,
questionable.
Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. A little questionable. Obviously, they had an epic comeback.
Yeah.
That was sick. But I'm going to go against, I'm going to go for Derek Carr.
All right, you're going Raiders there. This one's very, very close because, having Waller just rip right up the gut there on that passing touchdown that he had against New England, like, that was pretty awesome to see. And it's like, oh, right, I forgot. The Raiders offense has pretty much not been healthy at any point all year long. It is very I think I might go with Derek Carr, too, because the whole thesis of, like, targeting Minnesota as a defense is that you want to get big explosive pass plays on these guys because their secondary's been so vulnerable all year. But, like, no disrespect again, Giants receivers are like Richie James and Isaiah Hodgins and these guys. That's been a banged-up position for them all year. So I kind of feel like Derek Carr is the ceiling play. Daniel Jones, you're just going to get like 40 yards and potentially a touchdown as a rusher, which is nice and safe in fantasy. But if you need that upside, I think Derek Carr could throw for 3 touchdowns on the Steelers defense.
For sure.
All right.
We're aligned so far. Okay.
Close. This one's going to be interesting here. Let's go to running backs. You might know a thing or two about this position, so you should be able to help us here. Debate number one, this or that, J.K. Dobbins versus Atlanta. J.K. Dobbins has come back off injury and shockingly leads the NFL in rushing yards the last 2 weeks with 245, despite the fact that he's even publicly said, I don't have my explosiveness all the way back. Well, he has exploded for rushing yards this past couple of weeks. Or do we play James Conner versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Conner, Austin, he's played 91% of the team snaps since week 10. That's 5 games. That's crazy. I mean, you're a running back and you move off and on the field with Josh Kelly and Sony Michel at different points of the season too. 91% of the snaps, that's a lot of snaps.
That is a lot of snaps. That's a lot of snaps. And I feel like, now, even especially with Kyler being out, they're going to lean on him even more. And so, I like James Conner in this matchup. just because of the volume. It's like he's going to score a decent amount of points as long as he's on the field, which guess what? He's going to be on the field. Who's their backup over there?
They cut Eno Benjamin in the middle of the year, and then they have Keontae Ingram is their backup. He's a rookie. Yeah. By the way, like, just in case James Conner gets hurt, you should be stashing Keontae Ingram. Although it's like they might play their third string quarterback this week. You know, Kyler injured. Colt McCoy got a concussion last week. Trace McSorley, Penn State's finest Trace McSorley, might be out there. I don't know. I'm on the J.K. Dobbins side on this one. Falcons are a gettable matchup. Dobbins has been hot. Lamar may or may not be back in week 16, but, you know, sort of similar thing there that they got some problems in the wide receiver room there in Baltimore. They have pretty much all year long. They've been running the ball extremely well. I think this is a good matchup against Atlanta. Dobbins exploited a good matchup last week against the Browns, so I feel like he's the guy for me here.
All right, there we go. We got a little head-to-head. Nice.
This one is really interesting here. The second running back debate I have picked for us. Jerick McKinnon versus the Seattle Seahawks, who got run all over by Christian McCaffrey predictably last week. Jerick McKinnon, I don't know if you know this, Austin, he is the running back one in fantasy in back-to-back weeks, the highest scoring running back in half PPR fantasy the last 2 weeks. Pretty crazy stuff. Or, again, this is sort of a name versus game one here. Alvin Kamara at the Cleveland Browns. Kamara has not been at his best all year long, but he did have 91 yards last week. That was his most since week 6. And, you know, the Browns run defense is a mess right now. I think you guys had your best rushing performance this year against the Cleveland Browns. So
by far,
do we go with big name, good matchup, or a guy who's been hot for a great offense in Jerick McKinnon?
Ooh, that's tough.
That's a tough one.
That is tough because I think Kamara's going to come alive versus the Browns. But it's hard to go against the Chiefs and their explosive offense. And I've been watching McKinnon, man, these past couple weeks. I always watch the highlights after every game, like the little YouTube highlights the NFL puts out.
He looks great.
And, he's looking like a stud out there, man, running hard, making plays happen. Mahomes is getting in the ball in creative ways. You saw the sideways puck that he took to the house. So he's looking explosive. So I think it's hard to go against that. I'm going to make them prove me wrong, and I'm going to go with McKinnon for this one, just for the consistency of the last couple games, but then just consistency of their offense as well.
Yep, I'm going with McKinnon too. The matchup is good for both guys, but listen, if you're going to sit there and tell me you can get invested, just take the names off the back of the jerseys, McKinnon, Kamara, and the resumes and all that stuff. You're going to get invested in a guy who is involved in Patrick Mahomes' offense or Andy Dalton's offense. I think I'm going to go with the Mahomes offense. And also, weirdly, like David Johnson, who they just signed off the practice squad, the Saints, a couple weeks ago, ran more routes than Alvin Kamara last game, which is like, Kamara's supposed to be the passing guy. Like, I don't know. Very, very weird there. So I think we're both on the same page with this running back one. Let's do one quick receiver one here real quick before we jump to Antonio Gates, because I got to get a receiver one in this one. And this is interesting because I went into this and I picked these two guys because they're both playing on Thursday night. And all these guys are close in like early fantasy rankings, stuff like that. But we've got, for our first side here, Garrett Wilson versus the Jacksonville Jaguars on Thursday night. On the other side, we've got Zay Jones at the New York Jets, obviously, on Thursday night. Another reason I picked these two, I didn't know this going in, but since week 13, Garrett Wilson, who's a first-round pick, I think this guy is like going to be a superstar. He looks just different out there. He's a separator. He does everything well. He has a 23.3% target share since week 13 and 5 red zone targets. Zay Jones, who was kind of like they signed Zay Jones for how much money in the offseason type of guy? You know, he's on his third team. 23.3% target share since week 13, 5 red zone targets. Exact same resume. So, Austin, do we go with the superstar rookie with attached to a questionable quarterback in Zach Wilson, or Zay Jones, who's been doing it with a guy in Trevor Lawrence who's on kind of the upswing there?
I'm a little biased because I got Zay Jones on one of my fantasy teams.
Hey, nice pickup by you.
Yeah, this man's been killing it the past like 3-4 weeks. Scoring touchdowns, like getting red zone, you know, opportunities, like you said, and putting it in the end zone. And I actually had him on my bench this last week, and he scored like 3 touchdowns. A different story because I ended up losing that game.
Oh no.
I'm sick, man. I'm sick. Shout out to Zay Jones for, making me feel him on my bench. But I'm going to go with Zay, man, just because this tear that him and Trevor Lawrence have been on together, I think they got some chemistry. I think they're going to keep going to him because he's been hot. So I'm going with Zay.
I'm going to go against you on this one. I'll go with Garrett Wilson. And this might be a pure talent bias, because I'm telling you, like, Garrett Wilson, best among the rookies I've charted so far this year for RP, best success rate versus man, best success rate versus press. Guy just gets open at all levels. He's a stud. Better matchup against the Jaguars than Zay Jones going against a tough Jets defense. So I'll go with Garrett Wilson. You go Zay Jones. We'll see. We'll see very soon here on Thursday Night Football who is right. But all right, Austin, we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Chargers legend, the great Antonio Gates, right after this. All right, now welcoming to the show Chargers legend, Antonio Gates. Antonio, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing, man? You all right?
I'm doing great.
It's good to have you on the show. You and Austin were just talking before we got going. It was a great conversation about the free agent, the undrafted, like, chip you guys still have on your shoulder and the bond of that. So that was pretty cool to hear. I wanted to share that with the listeners too.
Oh yeah, man. I think what I understand, and probably he understands as well, just, you know, the dynamic of what it is to kind of, you know, you hear that, get it from the ground up. That's kind of like that free agent world. You really have to grind to get to the point where you actually get in the game. And you have to become from getting in the game to become the starter. Then you come from getting the starter to being a focal point of what we do offensively. And I'm familiar with that, and he is as well. So, but yet it doesn't end at that point.
Exactly. Because
the reality is that you still have that chip on your shoulder. I can be released at any time. I think that's what drove me for 16 years. The ideas that I never, it was like, no, you know, I wasn't no silver spoon. I wasn't no first rounder. I wasn't drafted. So no matter what I had done up to that point, year 10, year 12, year 15, in my mind, I came in as a free agent. And I think that's something that allowed me to flourish throughout my whole career. It's just that I kept that with me.
And I'm along that same path. I'm in year 6, but it still like stays with me. Like, we had to prove everything. We continued to have to prove ourselves every single year to show why we should be on this team and how much we can increase on our role and why we should. Yeah. And so I'm there with you, man. Well said. I'm still chipping towards, you know, that year 16. You know how it is. You take it one at a time.
One at a time.
We're on the same wavelength, man. Good stuff.
Well, it's a year 6 for you now. So I know when you're 6, you're like, man, I got about 3 more years. That's kind of how I was. I was kind of doing it in like 3 year span. Like, okay, I got about, you know, I'm getting there. And I look up, I was at year 9. I was like, it's probably it for me. Then I was at year 12. I was like, you know, I'm probably going to retire next year. And I was like, year 15. I just keep going, man. So
that's epic. That's exactly how it is, man. Straight up.
You know, because you'd be having those injuries and you'd be like, dude, like, this is it for me, man. I'm my home, it was family, X, Y, and Z. Yeah, so you just look up and I look up and it was year 16. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you're like, man, you know, I don't know how long
I only wanted to do 10. Yeah. I only wanted to do 10. My goal was to do 10. I was like, I just got to get to 10.
You're like, man, good, I don't know how much longer I keep doing this, man. But shoot, so you've been out a little bit now, right? People don't know, actually, probably. We played together for 2 years out in StubHub Dignity Health Center. Now you've been out for a little bit. Have you been keeping up with football? Obviously, the Chargers. Mm-hmm. But how's your involvement been there?
Well, I try to stay involved with the team, particularly our team, and more so than anything else. Obviously, if I'm looking at the schedule and I'm looking at the standings, I'm looking and watching the Jets now. So I'm watching the Patriots. Yeah. I'm like, okay, they got to lose. Yeah. The Raiders, I'm with the Dolphins. So I'm more inclined to what we're doing, and I kind of, my focus is on that. And then every blue moon, I watch football here and there. But for sure, I watch every home game, watched all the Charger games. And then I start watching teams that can be possibly in our way.
Right.
Which is now I look at the Jets. I'm like, let me see who they got this week.
Right.
What about the Patriots? They got to lose.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
They got to lose.
Crazy game last week with them.
So that was big. Yeah. That was
good
huge.
For the Chargers.
That was huge for us. So good for us. Yeah. So as long as we take care of business at this point now.
Yep.
And you know that, you know, we're in good shape now. We're in the driver's seat.
No doubt.
On that note, Antonio, we've been talking about this, Austin and I, because, you know, I've been following the Chargers this year as well, obviously doing the show every week with Austin, keeping in tune with the team. And I gotta say, man, And Austin agrees with this. He says it the same every week. It's a stressful bunch. It's a stressful team. They take every last minute. Is it more or less stressful watching the team as a fan now and like rooting for them, or was it more stressful playing?
I think it's more stressful watching because you have no. I used to be like, coach, like, throw me the ball. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You get to a point where you feel like you can help, like physically help. When you watch it from the stands, it's just kind of like, oh my God, he missed that ball. I critique it at a different level than like your normal fan, right?
Oh, wow,
I'm up here watching the game and I'm like, oh my God, if he hold that double team, like, he can run through that hole. I mean, I see it so differently. But I think watching it, I just have no control on nothing, have no input. I can just watch and see, and I can't help.
Right.
And I think that's the competitive nature in me, is that I want to go help.
Right.
You know, especially when we get inside the 20. That's like my favorite part of the game. It's the red zone. And I'm like, shoot, man, I can't help. You know, so, and I watch the game and I'm coaching too. I'm like, listen, Austin has to get at least 20 touches a game so we can win this game. Then I become a general manager. Right? Right, and then right. I'm like, okay, we got to make sure we need him for the postseason too. So don't worry about it. I'm like all over the place, man, as a fan. So you don't even know, man. I'm just all over the place at this point, man. As a fan.
I love that. So have you ever dabbled in fantasy football? Curious. Never played? Yeah. You'd have been amazing to have on any team. You would have been definitely sought out for the first couple of rounds.
Let me confirm that as a big dork who's been playing fantasy since like my sophomore year of high school. I had some Antonio Gates teams back in the day. What was a good pick? Was a good pick.
Thank you. Yes. I appreciate that. But that's how I became familiar with it, because I would be literally just my casual routine throughout a day, off day on a Tuesday, and I'd be at the gas station. And even if I was hurt and I had a boot on, I've actually heard fans say something to me like, hey, are you playing this week? Because I got you on my you know, so I would always hear the word fantasy. Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? And then I just got familiar with it. And I just realized that was a big deal in the sports world. Yeah. I never played personally. I just got familiar with it due to the idea of me just playing in the National Football League.
Right. Yeah, it's a massive deal, man. And so that's why I've been kind of tapping in. That's why we got this show, because people get invested not only with their time, but their money, right? And we got people's money on the line. Mm-hmm. They care a lot more, you know? So it's definitely another layer of the NFL that gives more exposure to all of us, right? I have so many fans from across the nation that aren't even Charger fans, but they got me on their team, so they need me to do well.
Yeah. That's how they recognize you as well.
Yeah.
Like Austin Eckler, I had you on my fantasy team. I never seen you, but you know what I'm saying? That's how I used to be with Antonio Gates. I never seen a day in my life, but I had you on my fantasy team.
Right.
I know that name.
Right.
And then it makes them feel like they're involved too, right? Like in the game. Mm-hmm. And for us, it's not as great, though, to be honest with you. It's not as great because, you know, it can come to a point where guys are starting to feel like they're not, you know, helping somebody, fantasy team. And now all of a sudden, I remember like being in the locker room and Melvin Gordon was just like down because he hadn't scored. And I was like, dude, please, we're in the National Football League. We are very, you know, we're doing well. I mean, this is a great place to be. So appreciate the game. And so, you know, because fantasy owners can get real, it can get tough. You know how it is. They can start posting stuff like, hey, where has he been? He's been missing. I've seen, you know, of guys who hadn't played well. So, I just try to balance that out.
It puts a false sense of reality. You know, almost out there, right? It's in the media. It's like this, oh, he hasn't scored, but you still might be winning games. You're still, you know, putting everything out there on the line for your team. So it's not like you're not trying. Yeah. Like you're trying, but they get that feeling because people are like, oh, he's doing this, that. And he's comparing you to other people, so I definitely feel that. And there's a lot of toxicity in the fantasy community. That's why we try to talk some positive light out here on the show. Because, it's really tough out there for players, you know. And you see guys that are about it, see guys that are not. And I get both sides of it 100%.
Especially a guy like you, Austin. Like, you come in and you've had a great year. Another thing, when you have a great year, like, you know, you score, double-digit touchdowns. Now you move up in the ranks in fantasy. So now the pressure's like, okay, it's already hard to get in the end zone. Everybody knows that, right? It's a very difficult thing to do to get in the end zone when they know you're capable of doing it. So they game plan you, right? So now you can get even more frustrated because you feel like you're not helping as much.
Right.
But realistically, you are.
Yeah.
You got 8-9 guys in the box. You're allowing guys to throw the ball outside now. So it changes. But yet you're not doing what they expect, you know, the experts expecting you to do.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel? You know, yep. Because you know, Justin and him is throwing the ball down the field and they got nine guys in the box. But is it like the, you know, you got to still maintain, I'm in a team game, mm-hmm. the ultimate team game. I think that's where it gets hard for most players. And I think, you know, when you got guys in the locker room that knows how to lead, it helps you out a lot.
For sure.
Because fantasy is not no game.
Yeah, listen, I think that's why on this show we try to go beyond the box score from a performance standpoint and let you know that it's more than just fantasy points, but also talk to you guys as real people and see what you're about in real life, because I think that opens it up and gets rid of that toxicity. But Antonio, before we get you out of here, you're teamed up with Captain Morgan on celebrating the NFL Fan of the Year contest. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Captain Morgan is doing a phenomenal thing, man, and they're spicing things up in the NFL in terms of what they're trying to create. You know, obviously you have these fans throughout the whole National Football League who's very, you know, devoted to cheering and rooting for their team, but yet in the community. And I think it's just a great thing to have a platform, man, because, you know, believe it or not, those fans are, you know, people that gets us going as well as players on and off the field. And I think it's just a phenomenal thing that they are getting their just due. You got guys like, you know, Urique, who's a fan of the year in Los Angeles. You know, just to, you know, see his bio and just all the things that he do throughout the community, you know, the drives, the community toy drives, charity events, always, you know, been tailgating since 2016. You know, I think it's time for people like that to, you know, start getting some recognition, and which he is. So it's a great thing to be a part of, man. And I finally, as a, you know, a former player, I get the chance to show my gratitude in terms of saying thank you to some of those guys who've supported me over the years and interact with those guys and great, unbelievable people, and I'm glad that they're being a part of something that's giving them a platform that the rest of the world can appreciate.
Yeah, and you know, just like I do, you know, without the fans, right, our game doesn't exist at the level and the magnitude that it's at, right? And so not only that, but it also helps us carry out a legacy, right? Because you've created memories that are instilled within these fans, right, that keeps the Antonio Gates name alive, right? So like, let's give some appreciation to these people that are helping us do that, helping us do these things in the sport and also when we're done playing with our careers. So heck yeah, good stuff, man.
I know, man.
Good stuff.
Great stuff, man. Yeah.
Hey, I can guarantee you there's a lot of people listening to this podcast that are like, oh, hell yeah, Antonio Gates won me some fantasy titles. They're very excited to be fans about Antonio Gates, just like your fans of Austin Eckler now. And, you know, maybe one or two people listen to this appreciate hearing my nonsense every single week. So, hey, I appreciate you, Antonio Gates, for joining the show. Thanks so much, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, brother. I'll see you around.
All right. Shout out to Antonio Gates. That was awesome. Austin, shout out to you. Another great episode, and we get to, you know, come back next week and see who was right about some of our debates, and we'll do the same thing next week. We'll do some more Week 17 this or that debates and see how this plays out, man.
Yeah, I'm curious too, you know, people that are listening, which side they would take in either of those. So definitely let us know. And yeah, I'm looking forward to going head to head again next week. It's always fun when we get to compete against each other and see how the boys play out. But yeah, appreciate you for this episode, man. Looking forward to next week.
Yeah, no doubt. Listen, if you agree with Austin on some of these picks or you agree with me, tweet at us and let us know which side of these debates you're on between Garrett Wilson, Zay Jones, McKinnon, Kamara, Dobbins, James Conner. We were on the same side with the quarterback, so who cares? But some of these ones we disagreed on. Let us know who you agree with, and we'll do the same next week. I mean, it's going to be kind of tough if, like, Austin comes in here and just dunks on me on both these debates, and this is, like, supposed to be my job. So that's going to be... Let me tell you what. I definitely couldn't do his job. We'll see if he could do my job. Let's go with that. All right. On that note, you can follow Austin on Twitter or Instagram at Austin Eckler. You can follow me at Matt Harmon _BYB. Let us know which side of these debates you fall on. And while you're there, make sure you're following at Yahoo Fantasy. And don't forget to vote for blue collar guy Austin Eckler for the Pro Bowl. Down with big school bias. Down with big school bias. I'll be back tomorrow with Dalton Del Don for another Stat Nerd Thursday. Until then, we're out.